Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته brothers and sisters inshallah today we're going to be discussing the Islamic viewpoint on the celebration of holidays I thought of this topic because it's very fitting because of the bombardment of the media and all the society all around us is talking about a celebration and celebration of holidays. And we as Muslims are also many times encouraged to participate in the as holidays because after all this is the celebration of the Maulud of Isa alayhi salam that we all recognize and revere him as the Prophet of Islam and Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the question comes in, why can't we celebrate? And it's not just this celebration of the Christmas, but also the Christmas, after Christmas comes a New Year, and also one of the other holidays we see is the Halloween, that is actually people, especially the young kids, actually get attracted by quite a bit. So we see all around us this bombardment of the values coming from which are non-Islamic holidays and the celebration that is in front of us. So the question comes in, what is the Islamic point of view of holidays? And so inshallah, in this talk, we will discuss what are the holidays, what is Islamic holidays, is there such thing as Islamic and non-Islamic holidays? We will look at that inshallah. And the question comes in, can we celebrate these non-Islamic holidays? And what are the origins of these, some of the well-known holidays, like I mentioned, Halloween, Christmas, New Year. So where do they come from? And is it okay to celebrate those holidays? So inshallah, we're going to actually go a little bit of all of that. So first of all, let's understand what is a holiday. So every nation in all around the human mankind, and when you look at the history of the people, everybody has their unique set of holidays. And their set of holidays, they actually give the characteristic or the identity for this nation. So those holidays are, when you look at the holiday, you can tell, okay, this is the holiday of this nation. For example, Christmas is a very well-defined, identifying characteristic of the Christian nation. The same way, when we talk about Eden, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, it's a very identifying of the Muslimin, that the Muslim nation, they all celebrate. Doesn't matter where the Muslim lives in, what color, what language, what country, they would celebrate those holidays. So this is very important to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has actually given us these holidays, Eden. So when you look at the Eid, any holidays or the Eid, so there could be only two sources that it come from. It could come from either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so this could be coming from the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could be telling the human beings how to celebrate certain holidays or how to actually identify the celebration. Or the source of those holidays could be the mankind's brain. So human beings could make up any holiday like they have done in the past, and we see that most of the holidays all around us, they are created by the imagination of the human beings. So when we see that, it could be either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or it could be the human beings. So for Muslims, we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we see that what is the holidays Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for us. So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us two holidays, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Eid al-Fitr is actually as a reward for a month-long fasting. That is fasting that is being fasted for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a reward to that fasting for a whole month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this celebration day, which is Eid al-Fitr. Similarly, Eid al-Adha is also tied to the Hajj. At the same time, it's a remembrance of the great sacrifice the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam did in the submission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's orders. And we see that both of these holidays, they start with the submission and the praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we go and we start the day of these Eidain, the two Eids, by praying and getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by remembering His names, by glorifying His praises. That's how we start this day. And then the other festivities take place. So it's not just that we would only be worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's how we start the day, but then other festivities take place as well. So let's remind that the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, when she narrates that on the day of the Eid, the two young girls were doing a special performance for her. They were singing some songs in front of her. When Abu Bakr Siddiq walks in, comes to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and found these girls with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, he rebuked them. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was facing the wall, not looking at the girls, he said, "Abu Bakr, know that every group of people has its Eid or a festival, and this is our Eid. So it is okay to celebrate or sing songs do these actions of festivities. Obviously, nobody is talking about any haram actions, all the halal actions that could be done to actually celebrate the Eid." And Eid is a name given to something that returns, Ya'ud. This is coming back, that it comes back. So this is the gathering of which happens repeatedly. It comes on a regular basis. So Prophet ﷺ has clearly stated that the Eid of the people of Islam is Eid celebration after Ramadan and the Eid at the end of the Hajj season. In addition to this, Friday is also considered as a minor Eid for the Muslims because it's the weekly gathering and it is the best day of the week. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted these special days to Muslims. And that's giving them a distinct identity from all other nations. And all the other holidays, as we discussed, that have been created by the human mind. So when we look at it, there are many Islamic evidences that forbid the Muslims that cannot have holidays other than the Eidain, the Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Al-Baqihi reported in his Sunan that Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu said, when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, the people had two holidays from the days of Jahiliyyah. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "When I came to you, you had 2 days which you used to celebrate in Jahiliyyah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has replaced them for you with better days. The days of slaughter, Adha, and the day of Fitr." Imam Ahmad in his Musnad also reported that the Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu reported that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said the day of the Fitr and days of Tashriq are our holidays, the people of Islam. Also Imam Ahmad in his Musnad reported that Uqba bin Amir, so we just saw this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated by the Musnad Ahmad, that these are the characteristics, defining characteristics, or identifying characteristics of the Muslimin, these two Eidain. So, when we look at this hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, that he is talking to people in Medina, he's saying that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has replaced the Eidain of the Jahiliyyah, or the non-Islamic Eid, with the Eid of the Islam. This clearly says that we cannot have any other celebrations. We cannot celebrate any other holidays. And in addition to that, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Al-Yawm akmaltu lakum deenakum, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, wa radaytu lakum al-Islam ad-deena, that this day I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and chosen Islam as religion. So this completely settles the matter. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Islam is complete. The deen Islam is complete. This means you cannot have something new coming to the Islam. So with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger actually has declared for us that there are only two Eidain, there are only two celebrations, then we don't get any other celebration or holidays to celebrate. Now the question comes in, when we talked about the Islamic holidays, so what are the non-Islamic holidays? So anything, right, other than coming from, other than Islam, are non-Islamic holidays, right? So they're all of those holidays, the origin is the man's mind. So the evidences we discussed, they are very clear, and they are forbidding Muslims. They are clearly saying that the Muslims cannot have any other celebration other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for them. So we are not allowed, as a Muslim, to participate or to celebrate the holidays of the non-Muslims, and we are not allowed to attend those holiday celebrations, even we are invited. One of the famous scholars, Ibn Qayyim, in his book, Ahkam al-Zimma, he says that, and I'll talk about the translation here, it is not permissible for the Muslims to attend the festivals of the disbelievers, according to the consensus of scholars whose words carry weight. So the fuqaha who follow the four schools of thought have stated this clearly in their books. Al-Bayqahi narrated with an authentic isnad from Umar ibn al-Khattab, who said that, do not enter upon the disbelievers on the day of their festivals, for divine wrath is descending upon them. Umar is also noted for saying that, avoid the enemies of Allah on their festivals. So these understanding by Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawzi and Umar ibn al-Khattab, this is very clear, that we should not be around, we should not be participating or celebrating the Eidain of the Kuffar. Ibn al-Qayyim in his book, the same book that we just talked about, Ahkam al-Zimma, he even goes one step further. He said not only that you should not be participating and attending those celebrations, he's even prohibiting that we should not even congratulate them or give them the greetings on their holidays. So I'm just quoting from his book, congratulating the kuffar on the rituals that belong to them is prohibited by consensus, as is congratulating them on the festivals by saying, a happy festival to you, or may you enjoy the festival, and so on. In addition to all this, some people say that we could be, for example, doing these celebrations because some of them had to be taken on somewhat a secular notion. For example, Halloween, there seems to be a lot of fun, trick-and-treating. Even the New Year, some people consider that this is maybe having secular traditions, secular origins. We're going to actually go into the origins of these holidays a little bit later. But just to look at that, if we are trying to celebrate these holidays by matter of imitation, then the Prophet ﷺ talks clearly about that, that we cannot do that. So we cannot imitate the kuffar by having parties on these occasions, or exchanging gifts, giving us sweets of food, taking time off from work. Because Prophet ﷺ says that whoever imitates the people is one of them. This hadith was authenticated by a great deal of scholars, including Abu Dawud, Ibn Hibban, Ibn Hajar. I mean, the list goes on. I mean, there's a long list of people, fuqaha, or the muhaddithin, who have authenticated this hadith. So imitating the disbelievers in any of their religious affairs or any of their holidays, which is their characteristics, which is their identity, which distinguishes them from other groups, is forbidden. In the Bukhari, Al-Bukhari said in a hadith, that Abu Sa'id al-Khudri reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that you will indeed follow the ways of those before you, handspan by handspan, and arm's length after another. Even if they enter into a lizard hole, you will follow them. We asked, is it Jews and Christians? He sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, who else? So the hadith is very clear in saying that the imitation is not allowed for all of us. So it is a prohibition that we cannot follow the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, in the occasions, in the symbols, or any matter related to their beliefs. Celebrating their holidays is an act of imitation, which is forbidden. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Messenger said, another hadith of Tirmidhi reported that Ibn Abbas reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is not one of us who imitates. He is not one of us who imitates other than us. Do not imitate the Jews or the Christians. At-Tabrani, Abu Dawud narrated that Umar and Hudhayfah reported that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever imitates a people, he is one of them. So these evidences are very clear that we cannot have any other celebration, any other holiday, any other Eid, other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for us. So we are not allowed to participate in or celebrate the holidays of the disbelievers. Not allowed to attend them, even if invited. Holidays such as New Year, they are actually filled with corruption. They are filled with vices. I mean, when you see that how these holidays are celebrated, they're filled with sins. So, I mean, even if you wanted to actually make an exception for those things, there is nothing that you can celebrate there. And we're going to come to the origins of that. That will clearly state that how these holidays are really coming from the disbelief of the kufr. So let's look at some of the well-known holidays, such as Christmas. When you look at the word Christmas, it is actually a combination of Christ and Mass. Mass meaning the worship service. So this really literally means the worship service where Christ is glorified. Now what's interesting is that we see that the Christmas is celebrated on 25th of December in most part of the world, and especially in U.S. And there is no consensus among the Christian scholars on the date of the birth of Isa alayhi salam. Some of the Christian church, like the Roman church, they actually have adopted the December 25th as a date. When we look at the Eastern Orthodox church, they consider January 6th as the date of his birth. So clearly there's no consensus, even the major branches of the Christianity. And when you look at even the majority of the, some of the Christian scholars and historians, they consider that the Isa alayhi salam was born in, not in the winter, but in the summer time period. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Surah Al-Maryam, ayah number 25, also actually gives the ayah that actually supports this idea that Isa alayhi salam was born in the summer time period. Because he says in ayah number 25 to Isa, to Maryam alayhi salam, after giving birth to Isa alayhi salam, he says that, and shake towards the trunk of the palm tree. So she was sitting under the palm tree. So he asks her to shake the tree so that the ripe dates will fall down and she would eat them. So he's saying that, and shake towards the trunk of the palm tree, it will drop on you ripe, fresh dates. So this clearly says that he was not born in the winter time period. But at the same time, when we look at the history of how this thing was adopted, we see interesting things that the Romans, when they were pagans, they used to have a series of celebrations in the winter time. So on December 17, they used to have a celebration, December 17, called Saturnalia. So they actually had one celebration 17th of December. They had one celebration on 25th of December, which was what called the Festival of the Sun. And they also had a festival on the 1st of January, which was the New Year. When we look at it, even Christianity, they did not adopt this Christmas. I did not even celebrate the Christmas until the year 336 CE, the Common Era. So after 300 years and 36 years after the Isa alayhi salam was born, the Christians started celebrating the Christmas. So this doesn't even have the origins from the time of the Prophet Isa alayhi salam or during his disciples. So it came 300 years after he came to the world. When we look at the Roman traditions, what they used to do in these celebrations, the December 17 celebration, December 25th celebration, and then the January 1st celebration, we see that they used to decorate their houses with the evergreens. Evergreen trees and their branches, they used to decorate their houses. They used to decorate their houses with the lights. They used to exchange gifts with each other. They used to feed to poor. That's kind of a celebration they used to have during the Christmas time, during that December and January time frame. So when you look at it, so these symbols, the fire, the evergreens, they are to symbolize the warmth and the life in the middle of the cold in winter. So the days were short, so they wanted to use the light so that it would be lighted up. And they used to show the evergreens because during the winter period, majority of the vegetation would die off. So they used to have these symbols to celebrate life and warmth. And we see that the Christmas now, some of the tradition has been adopted by the Christian church, and you see the similar festival of lights, people decorate their houses with the lights, they exchange gifts, all these have the origins coming from the pagan Romans. And the 25th of December, when you look at the Roman history, they used to worship the sun at that time. They used to worship sun so that the sun would come out because during the winter time, they were one of some of the shortest days. They used to worship sun so the sun would come out the next year. So it will give the life to the plants, the vegetation. It will give life, and actually it will bring back the prosperity and bring back the easy days for these guys to actually to live there. They thought that if don't worship the sun on December 5th, 25th, the sun would not come the next year. So Christian church, obviously, they looked at these traditions and they decided to kind of emulate and adopt these things in their religion. When you look at the New Year, that's interesting because the New Year starts in January. The 1st of January is the New Year for the Roman calendar. And Julius Caesar, in the year 46 before Christ was born, he actually assigned the 1st of January being the first day of the new Roman calendar. And the same month was adopted by the Pope Gregory, who gave the Gregorian calendar that we see, which is being followed right now. So they both actually kept the same month, January. And when you look at the word January, the January word is coming from the Roman god Janus. And the Janus is known as the god of doors and gateways. So that was interesting that it was considered that January was the gateway or the opening of the year. So that's why they considered January being the first day of the calendar. Now, when you look at what kind of a celebration they used to do for the New Year, they used to have very wild parties in Roman time. They had orgies, they had wild parties, and they would do all kinds of vices in those days because they were enacting that there is a disorder. Because the year is ending, there's a disorder coming, and then the god, the Janus that they have, he's going to bring the order to their life and to their culture. So obviously, when you see that these celebrations have the pagan roots, and they are based on the pagan traditions, and the way of celebration is also being copied from the pagan rituals. So now let's look at the Halloween. This is one of the holiday that is very popular among the kids, especially because they think that they can dress up in a costume, they can actually go trick-and-treating and do lots of interesting things. So what is the Halloween? What is the origin of Halloween? So it is, we all know that Halloween is celebrated on October 31st. The word Halloween, when you look at the word Halloween, it's really a shortened form of All Hallows Evening. Another name also known as Halloween or All Hallows Eve. It means Holy Evening. It is also known as All Saints Evening from the Christian tradition. So when you look at the traditions of the Halloweens, so there used to be a Gaelic tradition. There also used to be a Roman tradition. So both of them are pagan traditions that actually has the origins of the celebration for Halloween or the that time of the year, which is the October, end of the October and the beginning of November time period. So one of the historians, Nicholas Rogers, saying that some of the Roman, they used to have a feast called Ponoma. They used to celebrate the goddess of the fruits and seeds. And they also have a festival of the dead called Parentalia that used to be in the same time period. When you look at the Gaelic tradition, they used to have the festival of Samhain. That's the end of the harvest season in the Gaelic culture. And they also used to go and actually take a stock of, okay, well, how much grains I have, how much livestock I have, how much food I have, supplies for the winter. But they also believed, being as the pagan and superstitious in nature, that this is really the overlap of the living and the dead. And they considered that this is the night that the dead would come back to life, and they would create some havoc. So they have to, they could cause sickness, they could damage crops, so they were actually talking about superstitious belief that they had. So they would actually light the bonfires, they would actually light up, don and actually wear costumes, they would actually mask their faces. They would go and trick and what we call a trick and treating. They would go house to house begging for the food. There's also actually a superimposed Christian traditions of All Saints Day, which is a multi-day celebration that the Christianity actually had. Interestingly enough, they used to have All Saints Day celebrated earlier, then the Christian church decided to actually superimpose on top of these pagan traditions to preserve or kind of like have give them a little bit of Christian color to it. So in the Christian traditions, they would actually create the soul day. So they would actually believe that the souls would come back. Any soul that has not gone to the heavens, they would come on this night, and they would pray for those souls to have a peaceful journey back to the heavens. So on that day, they would actually bake and make soul cakes, and people would go from house to house, especially the kids or the poor. They would go house to house, and actually they would ask for the soul cake, and in return for the soul cake, they would actually pray for the dead, that their dead soul would make a peaceful transition to the afterlife or to the heaven. And this is so much that even Shakespeare, he actually uses this terminology of beggars to these people who would be going from door to door asking for handouts from the houses in exchange for the prayers. And so you see that there's actually an amalgamation of the Christian traditions, the pagan traditions, superstition, that actually gives rise to this Halloween tradition. Another thing is the jack-o'-lantern. Actually, kids they see, they will carve out a lantern from a pumpkin. The tradition, the origin of this was coming from the Ireland, which is Irish or Gaelic tradition. They used to have the turnips. They would carve out the turnips because in that environment, the turnips used to be very plentiful. And that was the time of the harvest for the turnips. So we'll take the turnips, carve it out, and make the lanterns out of that. So since when they came to U.S., turnip is not such a big crop, but they used to have the crop which coincides with the time frame of October was the pumpkins. So they decided to make the switch from turnips to the pumpkins. So they carve out the pumpkins and make the same lantern. Again, the superstitious belief that he used to have that it would be ward off the evil spirits, and actually they would be safe and they would not be harmed by those spirits. So these are the three holidays, the Christmas, the New Year, the Halloween, that we see people, especially in this country, are celebrating so much. And we also see that because of the things tied to them, for example, with the Christmas, there's actually a lot of gift exchange that really attracts a lot of people and also especially kids. The Halloween tradition, which especially attracts with the kids because they go to trick and treating, they get to dress up, go and actually get the collect the free candies from people. So we understand the origins of these. They are coming from the Aqidah of the pagans, and some of them the Aqidah of the Christians. So being a Muslim, we cannot adopt these holidays. We cannot celebrate these holidays. For Muslims, there's only two holidays that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us that we can celebrate. And all other holidays, we cannot celebrate, and it's haram to celebrate. I would like to please stop here and see if there's any question, inshallah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.